Christ is risen. Oh, come on. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We're supposed to be charismatic. Come on now. Honestly, I am like the Duracell bunny on Easter Sunday. The worship could just go on and on and on, couldn't it? It was unbelievable to worship him together. We have a good story, guys, you know, and on Easter Sunday, despite the chaos and the darkness and the difficulties of our world, we gather together around this resurrected Savior to remember that we have a really good story. You're like, this is a really good story. I'm so excited. You're going to be excited too by the end, I promise. So what we're going to do today is we're going to gather around the story of the resurrection of Jesus, and we're going to think about this resurrection and what does it mean? What does it mean to have a risen Jesus? What can you and I expect from a resurrected Jesus this Easter? And there's no better way than to think about the resurrected Jesus by an arm wrestle. You didn't see that coming, did you? But I promise it's going to make sense in a moment. Right, Ryan, Carrie, Alice, come on, show them muscles. He's doing his best, guys. He's doing his best. Listen, dude, don't pick too soon. Right, Ryan, select from the crowd. Now, listen, don't be doing what I know you're going to do, like picking a four-year-old child just so you can win. Look at Dee's, like, I'll take you on.
Is there a challenger?
I think Dee's challenging. However, he has to play the guitar at the end, so you don't want to break his wrist.
Yeah, I would. I want Mike Ferguson.
Oh, Mike, the challenge has been dropped. Are you sure? Ryan, are you okay?
Have you
seen Mike Ferguson?
Yes. Gentle. Mike.
Look at this man mountain. What are you doing?
Look at this man mountain.
Mike, please don't break him. I need him, please don't break him, right? I don't know what the rules are of an arm wrestle. I'll just let you just crack on.
Can we just go for it?
Oh, I just go for an eye.
You give us just say 3, 2, 1, go.
3, 2, 1, go. Take your table. Well done, Mike. Unbelievable. Like Charlotte's lost the plot. No, promise it's going to make sense in a minute. You see, the really interesting thing about the resurrection is this. Jesus dies, he's buried in this tomb, he's raised back to life, and then you would think the next thing you would do would just be ascended to the Father. Right, job's done. Just ascended to the Father. But that's not what happens. Instead, what happens is we have this bookend to Jesus' life, his ministry, of 40 days. So just before Jesus goes launching into his ministry, a few years prior to that, he has 40 days where he's in the wilderness and he does battle with the devil. The devil comes to him and he comes to the devil and they meet in the wilderness and they have this big standoff. And the enemy throws everything he has at Jesus, the enemy throws at him, and yet Jesus is victorious, right? And that's the way the story starts of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is already on top here. He is victorious. He has won the day. And then the ministry of Jesus happens, the death of Jesus, he's buried in the tomb, and then he rises from the grave, and there's another 40 days before he ascends to the Father. It's really intentional. 40 days and 40 days. 40 days. 40 is a really important number in Scripture. So these 40 days, Jesus is doing something important. While he says, it is finished on the cross, and that is very true, there is something else that Jesus wants to do on the earth before he has ascended to the Father. What is Jesus doing in those 40 days? We're going to think about that this week and probably next week as well. What is Jesus doing in those 40 days? What is a resurrected Jesus doing? Let me read you a verse from Acts that explains what Jesus is doing. Acts 1, verse 3 says this, after his suffering, that's Jesus, he presented himself to them, his disciples, his friends, he presented himself to them and he gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So the first thing you need to know about resurrection is this, the resurrected life of Jesus and what he's doing in those 40 days, his resurrection is proof. Resurrection is proof. You see, what you have got to understand is that his disciples, his friends, those people who have put their faith and their trust in him, have watched the ultimate wrestle take place in those days. In the day that Jesus dies, they watched the ultimate wrestle. If you thought the 40 days at the start was a wrestle in the wilderness with the enemy, you watched the ultimate wrestle take place on the day of Jesus' death, where Satan throws all of the weapons of darkness come flying out. There is nothing held back. There is nothing withheld. Every weapon of darkness is released. We see the worst of the kingdom of darkness. We see violence. We see injustice. We see hatred. We see every dark weapon that the enemy possesses come tumbling forward towards Jesus, and he takes it all upon himself. He takes the injustice of what it looks like for violence to be poured out on an innocent party. He takes it all into his body, the violence, the shame, the humiliation. Everything the enemy has as a weapon against humanity is thrown at him, and the disciples and his friends, they witness the wrestle. They witness the wrestle firsthand. They witness the enemy throw everything the enemy has got at Jesus, and now they need to know he won. They need to know he won the wrestle. They need to understand that having witnessed the worst that the enemy can do, that Jesus has won. He has been victorious. So he goes through these 40 days giving them proof of the fact that even when the enemy threw his worst at him, that he was still ultimately victorious. And you and I need that. We need that proof, because the truth is, you and I live in a world that where the darkness seems like it's closing in, where every day we watch and we witness the worst that the enemy can do through humanity and to humanity. We witness violence. We witness oppression. We witness injustice. We witness the humiliation and the degradation of humankind. We witness oppression towards the innocent, and we witness violence towards the innocent, and our hearts inside of us ache and they sag and they deepen in sorrow. And somewhere in the middle of that, we need to see a risen Christ Jesus who is above it all. We have got to know that ultimately he is victorious. In the middle of this world, we have got to know that everything the enemy is throwing is not the end of the story, because Jesus is ultimately victorious. He won the wrestle. We need this. You and I need this. Every time you watch the news, you need the resurrection story in order to maintain your hope in a world crippled with despair. The resurrection is beautiful proof. But is that all it is? I mean, that would be enough. But is that all it is? Just proof that Jesus is victorious? No, it's so much more than that. The resurrection is proof, but what we also need to understand is the resurrection is a promise. The resurrection is a promise, because this is not just about Christ's victory, but this is about those who come under Christ's victory too. This is the fact that the resurrection may begin with Christ. He's called in 1 Corinthians the first fruits. It may begin with Christ, but it does not end with Christ. The resurrection and the power of the resurrection is then rolled out to humanity, to everyone who will say yes to the invitation of Christ. It's not just proof that Jesus won, but it is a promise that his church will also be victorious. That those who believe in the name of Jesus will also experience resurrection. This is what it says in Romans, in the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 11 says this: "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you." Is that not the best news you've ever heard? It's not like Jesus' resurrection is too big to be contained. It pours out into you and to me. So what can you expect from Jesus this Easter? What can you expect from a resurrection in the middle of your ordinary life in 2026? What can you expect from Jesus, a resurrected Jesus this Easter? Do you know what you can expect? Resurrection. You can expect resurrection, because resurrection is not just proof of his victory, it is a promise of your resurrection too, unfolded to you, because the same spirit, the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead, now pours out into your life. It's really good news, and I'm going to tell you why it's really good news. You and I can't resurrect ourselves. We can't resurrect ourselves. We do not have the capacity to resurrect ourselves. Resurrection has to be an act of God. God has to resurrect us. And this is what we see throughout the text of Scripture. We see the Trinitarian action of resurrection, because we find in Acts 2, verse 24, it says, God raised him. God raised him from the dead. Resurrection is not human work. It is God's work. And somehow in the mystery of resurrection, there's this Trinitarian action where we're told that God raises Christ, but Christ also says of himself, I have authority to lay my life down and to take it back up again. Christ says, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. Then we find that the Spirit is involved in resurrection. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead raises us from the dead. The Trinitarian action of God to resurrect. I don't understand the mystery of that, but this I know, resurrection is God's business. Humans can't do it for themselves. And I want to tell you today, wherever you find yourself, wherever death is creeping into your life, you cannot resurrect yourself out of it. You need God. I need God. We need God. Resurrection is this deep need of the human condition that only God can meet. God is coming to resurrect, and you need him, and I need him. We need him to resurrect us. And the beauty of the resurrection is this. The resurrection is multifaceted. Like, what does it mean to expect God to resurrect us? Oh, he wants to resurrect you in a million and one ways. It's just, honestly, the news is even better than you think it is. He wants to resurrect you in a million and one ways. What kind of a resurrection can we expect from the Lord? Well, the first thing I want to say is this. We can expect a physical resurrection. We can expect a physical resurrection. I want to be very, very clear. There's a metaphorical element to the concept of resurrection, which we'll get to in a minute. But it's not merely metaphorical. It's physical. Like your physical body. Those who believe in Christ can expect after death their physical body to be raised to life, that death is not the end. We can expect this from him. Just before Jesus goes to the cross in the Gospel of John, his last miracle is so poignant and so powerful and so important for us as Christians for our hope. Because in John 11, Lazarus has died physically. He's physically dead. Deader than dead. In a tomb. His body is dead. This is not a metaphor. Lazarus is physically dead. And Jesus meets Martha, Lazarus's sister, and he says to her in John 11, verse 23, your brother will rise again. What are you supposed to do with that information? Like, what are you supposed to do with that at the edge of a tomb? Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, listen, the one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, amen. I'm with you. I am with you. Yes, do you believe this? That's a good question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And then Jesus proceeds to physically resurrect a person who is physically dead so that you and I understand this ain't no metaphor. This is like a physical resurrection, that even when we go into death, we who believe in him can expect that death will not be the end, but our bodies will be raised, that we will be raised to newness of life in Christ, to a version of life that is better than anything you have ever experienced on your best day. This is your... Guys, this is your future. Like this, those of you who think you have no future, if you believe in Christ, this is literally your future. You can't get a better future than this. I don't care who said, what about your future, that you had no future? What a pile of nonsense. They clearly didn't know you believed in Christ, because this is your future, a life that is a quality, not just a quantity, but it's qualitatively different life after your death. This is what it means to be a believer. How do you attain this resurrection? You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You take your whole life and you say to yourself, I can't do anything with this. I'm just a human. But I will entrust my life back into the hands of God. And I know that even though I will die, yet I will live because he will raise me from the dead. Amen. Amen. And I want you to know that if you have never entrusted Christ today, the moment that you entrust Christ, that you say, I believe in you, yes, I believe, and you hand your life over to him, you then become a recipient of the resurrection life. It's not just Jesus' life anymore, it's yours. That same life becomes yours. It's just the best invitation you could ever receive. And we need it. And you know, I'm realizing that you need that. The longer you go through life, the more you need to really have a grip on the thought that resurrection's physical, not just metaphorical. You need that. Some of you in this room have faced death. You've looked death square in the eyes. You've recovered from diagnoses that you just had to accept the fact that I might die here. You've had to look death. And in those moments, you know what matters? Your faith in the resurrection. It matters more than ever. As you go through life and you lose more and more people you love to death, your faith in the resurrection starts to really matter. It starts to really matter. Even as your own body begins to age and you start to worry about it more. Every ache and pain, you're on Google, 3 clicks and you're dead, don't do it. You are not a medical professional. You did not do a degree. You don't know what you've got. Anyway, side note, 3 clicks and you're dead, don't do it. But as your body ages and you start to become so aware, don't you start to become more aware of your own mortality? And that would lead to despair except for the physical resurrection. Because though this body will degrade, we will be raised to a newness of life and given something so much better than what we lost. I spent some time recently with someone who was dying, and they've since gone to be with the Lord. And as I talked to this person, they were talking to me about the difference before they believed in Jesus, before they gave their lives to Jesus, and the difference afterwards. As they were dying, they knew they were dying, and like I say, have since passed away. And they said this to me: before, I did a lot of good things, and this is a phrase they used, I was never confident. I was never confident. And the moment I gave my life to Jesus, I was confident. I was confident, and I watched that person walk right up to death's door and not lose their confidence. Like the level of peace that they experienced as they walked towards death was remarkable. You know why? They had faith in the resurrection, and that changed death. And the thing about death is, while it is the last great enemy, it is a defeated enemy, because we don't go into death, we go through death and out the other side into eternal life. This is the promise of the resurrection, like it's the best news. And that means that even if our worst fears happen, even if we meet death, even if those we love meet death, though that is painful, and I do not diminish the pain of that. You know me well enough to know I would not diminish the pain of that. But can I say, we do not grieve without hope. Because death is not the end. We go through death and out the other side into resurrection life. You've got to know that God wants to grant you a physical resurrection. But that's not the only kind of resurrection. Because while the resurrection is not merely metaphorical, the imagery is also metaphorical. We see that in Scripture as well. This metaphorical imagery that we also need about a different kind of resurrection. We find it in Ephesians. Let me read you a portion of Scripture. Can I ask you to do something for me when we read Scripture? It's very easy for us just to like zone out and then come back in. Can I tell you, Scripture is the most powerful part of what we do? Like, my words are just my words. Scripture is more powerful than that. So can we lean in and think about this passage as we read it, what it's saying? Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, Satan. All of us also lived among them at one time, and watch this, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up, watch this, with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Is that not good news? This passage talks about this metaphor, it uses a metaphor of death and resurrection, of Christ's death and resurrection, to symbolize a different kind of death. You see, God offers us a resurrection not just from physical death, but from spiritual death. And we're described in this passage as once being spiritually dead, we were under death's hold. A dead person can't do anything about being dead. They cannot raise themselves. And so we were under the powers of the enemy. And as a result, all of the cravings of our flesh, we were just satisfying them all. Do you know, there's something really, really heartbreaking, isn't there, at that moment when you discover darkness isn't just outside of me, it's in me. Like, darkness is not just an out there issue, it's an in here issue. When you see all of the darkness played out in the world, and then you realize, actually, in my heart, there's bitterness, anger, violence, you know, selfishness. It's not just an out there problem, it's an inside problem. And when you realize that, and you realize there's nothing you can do about it, like you just keep giving in to these desires that you know are not good, and you find yourself trapped, wanting freedom, but trapped inside of these desires that you cannot get out of, like you're dead, you're under it. And then Christ comes, and he says, just let me raise you above that. Let me raise you above spiritual death. Let me raise you out of that and above that. And let me raise you not just above death, but let me seat you with me in heavenly places. And what that means is though sin, though temptation, it doesn't mean that we won't be tempted. Though sin and temptation nips at our heels, it is not over us, it is under us. And all of a sudden, because we have been resurrected above it, we can now look temptation square in the face, and we have resurrected life in us that enables us to say, no thank you. No thank you to this temptation. You once couldn't do that. You once were just gratifying all, but you have been raised above this. So when temptation comes, when it comes in like a flood, just like Christ did in the wilderness at the start in those 40 days, you can look that temptation in the face and you can say, no, thank you. I am above you. I am above sin. I am above these fleshly desires. I can say no to you and live a resurrected life because I have been raised to life. Don't you need to be reminded of that? And don't you need to be invited into that if you don't know Jesus? Don't you need to be invited into... Christianity is not a self-help program. It is a program full of people who tried self-help and it didn't work. It didn't work because we weren't that good. We just weren't that good at helping ourselves. And we tried our best. We tried our best and we could not raise ourselves because resurrection is not human work. It is God's work done on behalf of you, for you, by the blood of his son and the resurrection of his son from the grave. It has been purchased for you. You do not do it for yourself. He alone can raise you. It's like he's the only one who can do it. He's the only one who can take us out of this life. We're like, I just long for more, but I can't seem to access it. He's the one that raises us. He raises us physically. He raises us spiritually. But you know, I've been so convicted as we bring this to close. I've been so convicted this last week of the fact that he resurrects us continually. Like, this is an ongoing process. I really felt the Lord convict me about this because I felt him say to me, Charlotte, why are you continuing in the flesh what I began? Why, when you know, like, I've been doing this a while, guys. Why, when you know that I was the one who raised you out of your sin in the beginning, do you now think that by some kind of spiritual striving you can get your way home? Like, I'm just going to grit my teeth and be a better Christian today. Like that person who really annoyed me yesterday, I'm just going to love them in the love of Christ Jesus today. If you see me grit my teeth at you, you know what's going on. Why do we think that? Guys, that's too hard. It's too hard, and I am failing, and I'm exhausted trying, and I just felt the Lord say, Charlotte, lean into resurrection life. Let me raise you above this. You can't get above this. Then the answer is not just try harder. The answer is crying out to the Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Like, to wake up every morning. Guys, you know that you can wake up every morning and lean into resurrection life instead of your own. That problem that you have that you can't solve, that sin that you can't get away from, that difficulty that seems insurmountable in your own strength, that's no problem. You're not called to live in your own strength. You've got resurrection life. Like, it's in you. We're called to more than that. Galatians 2 verse 20 says this, I've been crucified with Christ. Like, that person's gone. He tried to do it by themselves. That person's gone. I no longer live. It's not my effort anymore. Christ lives in me. The life I now live, let me say this to you, the life you now live in the body, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. You do not have to do this on your own. And there is something about a long-term relationship with Jesus that can lead to a striving in our spirits where we're just constantly distraught that we can't seem to strive our way to being, because we so long to be like him. And we're like, we can't seem to strive our way into the likeness of Christ. Oh, of course you can't. Resurrection's God's job, not yours. Your job is to entrust yourself into resurrection life and to ask for it to come. So no matter what you face, no matter what death, no matter what difficulty, no matter what disturbance there is in your life, can I encourage you, if you believe in Christ this week, instead of thinking I just have to figure my way through this, just lean back into resurrection life and say, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. Like, I need you to raise me above this because I cannot do this. The resurrection is the best news. It was the best news the first time you ever heard it. I'm going to tell you it's the best news today still. Some of you have followed Jesus for like 70 years and it's still the best news you've ever heard. It's news that just gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter, and somehow the more you follow him, the more you realize you need resurrection life. Like you become more and more aware of how you cannot do this without him. Isn't it good news? You don't have to. You've never had to. Because the same power that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. You who believe, raising you to life every single day until ultimately you go into death and you're physically resurrected and you see him face to face, and the scriptures say, and when you see him, you will be like him. Perfect. I can't wait to be perfect. It's going to be so good. Resurrection's the best news. It was the best news all those years ago. It's still the best news for you today. Thank you for listening. Let's take a moment to pray, and then we're going to worship one who deserves to be worshipped. So we close our eyes. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and just give one another a bit of privacy. We're going to do a couple of things here as we close out in worship. First of all, I want to invite you, if you have never given your life to Jesus, I want to let you know that you are invited into resurrection life today. This is the invitation of the cross of Jesus Christ, and this is the good news of Easter. And I honestly don't care what way you come. That's not important. The important thing is you come to him. You don't clean yourself up and then come. You cannot raise yourself from the dead. You reach out for him and you say, raise me. I accept you. I believe in you. Raise me. Do something with my life. I cannot do it by myself. And I just want to invite you into that today. So if you're in this room and you're saying yes to that invitation, you want to give your life over to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to do something really simple. I will not embarrass you in any way. I just want to pray for you as you make this step. If you're giving your life over to Jesus, can I just ask you, everybody's eyes are closed, just to raise your hand where you are so that I can pray for you. I see you. Welcome home. Anybody else want to join? We just celebrate the fact that a young man's coming home to Jesus today. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. I just want to invite you to pray a prayer after me. Let's join with this prayer to help this young man as he walks home to the Lord. I'm going to say a line, and let's just say it afterwards to support him as he prays. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you you made it for me. I thank you I don't have to raise myself. You raise me. I give you my life. I give you my sin. I give you my brokenness. I give it all to you. And I ask you to raise me to life. I ask you to fill me with the power of your Spirit so that I might follow you all the days of my life. So that one day, when I have died, I will be raised to fullness of life. And I will see you face to face. I give you my life today. Amen. 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 And now I want to take one other moment. Let's just keep our eyes closed for another second. And I want you, if those of you who believe in Jesus, the majority of this room, I want you to invite the resurrection and life back into your life again today, this Resurrection Sunday. We all need this. And so if you're inviting the resurrection life of Jesus just to come and sweep into any parts of your life that feel dead or broken or beyond hope, I want you to just put your hands out in front of you as a symbol of receiving resurrection life. I'm just going to pray for the resurrection life of Jesus to fill you. Lord, I just pray for the resurrection life that you have promised us to now fill your people once more. We pray that you would raise us, even like that valley of dry bones. Lord, we confess before you that we feel like a valley of dry bones, and we need your Spirit to come upon us and to raise us back into newness of life. So we welcome the resurrection life of Jesus back into our lives, and we pray this Easter we would be propelled out in the resurrection life of Jesus to bring the resurrection life of Jesus everywhere we go. Would you once more empower your people to live into the fullness of what you have bought and purchased for us? So Lord, we give our lives to you once more and we say, come fill us with your life. Come fill us with the fullness of your life and sweep out the death that threatens to creep into us. Lord, sweep out the death and fill us and raise us back to newness of life. We ask these things in your name and together we say, amen. Listen, we're going to stand together and sing. I invite you to do that now. And that young man who gave his life to Jesus, if you just come see me afterwards, I've got a little gift for you I'd like to give you. And if anybody else in the room today wants to give their lives to Jesus, like at the end when the prayer ministry team come, just you come forward and tell them and they will lead you in a prayer. It will be their great privilege to do that for you this Resurrection Sunday.